Listening to KBOO Portland.
Estás escuchando KBOO Portland por el 90.7 FM y transmitiendo en línea a través de kboo.fm.
Yo, what's going on, man? It's the Microphone Fiend, man. You know what it is, man. Hard Knock Radio, man. Play it loud. Make sure you know what time it is, baby.
Hey, this is Dawn.
And I'm Max.
From In Vogue.
And you're listening to Hard Knock Radio. News, views, and hip-hop.
Yo, this your brother Bamboo. This is DJ Fat Trick. We are on Hard Knock Radio. You are listening to the news, views, and hip-hop from the progressive perspective. Yarra brat.
Hard Knock Radio hanging out with you this afternoon, and I got some dynamic folks who can hold court by themselves, but they're going to hold court collectively to talk about ways that they're trying to improve the community, how they're trying to improve our psychological outlook on things, and how we can continue the path to fighting for freedom. We're talking about Jill Christina Vest. I always want to call you Jill Crest, but Jill Christina Vest, originally from Chicago, now in the Bay Area, holds a BA and MA in Black Studies, Women's Studies, and Multicultural Education from SFU and USF. And pre-COVID, she was touring the world on an amazing production team working with amazing artists, including Miss Lauryn Hill, among others. We also have James Field. He is an artist extraordinaire. James Shield. He's an artist extraordinaire, and we're going to be talking about the project he will be a part of. And then last but not least, we have Miss Erica Huggins, who is a former Black Panther and one of the artists that's going to be involved in this project. And of course, Erica Huggins is a force unto herself and no stranger to our airwaves. So it's good to have you all here. So Jill, let me start off with you. A couple of months ago, or a few months ago, you were talking about doing a big project in West Oakland and putting a mural up on your house, I believe, or a house, and talking about it was more than just an art piece, but a statement that goes above and beyond and touches people in ways more than just looking at a piece of art and saying that's nice. But let's get into that.
Yeah, so I am commissioning a huge mural that's going to be on the side of my house in West Oakland, and it's going to be honoring the women of the Black Panther Party and in conjunction with the Say Her Name movement. And it came out of this rebellion that we're having in the United States and watching all the amazing murals that were going up in Oakland. And I had this moment of, but these murals are going to come down and people are going to have to ask permission for them to stay up. And people are going to have to ask permission for them to be displayed someplace else. So then I had this idea, if I put a mural on my house, I don't have to ask anybody's permission. And it can stay there forever. And it can be this amazing public piece of art in the birthplace of the Black Panther Party. And it was also in conjunction with the fact that the rebellion was about George Floyd, but not a lot of people were talking about Breonna Taylor. That came a little bit later. So I really have always been focused on creating space and creating voice and creating language for Black women who are often left out of the conversation, left out of history, left out in many ways. So yes, huge mural going on the top, other side of my house.
And you won't be the first one to have a landmark house in Oakland that people come to see. They're the famous Warrior House.
Exactly.
West Oakland. They're the Purple House for a long time. So this is not an unusual thing. Just out of curiosity, because in the past, we've seen that people will let you do a Warrior House and do all sorts of things. But as soon as you start talking about freedom fighters or Black Panthers, as we saw in Palo Alto where they had Assata Shakur, all of a sudden people want to pull out the paperwork and find some arcane rule. So have you run into that problem?
I haven't, and that was a huge motivator for it to be on my house and on my property. And I've already spoken to everybody on the block up and down 9th Street. You know, James, the lead artist, lives right down the street. Erica lives in Oakland. So there's a lot of buy-in, a lot of excitement, because there's a lot of people that know this is the birthplace of the Black Panther Party, but there's not really anything that celebrates that. There's not really anything that shows that. And so it's very important for me to create this mural, not only for the women, but to change the narrative of the Black Panther Party, of people thinking, like Black Lives Matter, that it's a terrorist group. When, like Black Lives Matter, the Black Panther Party is simply an organization of Black people whose sole focus is to better the lives of Black people. So that, hopefully, if people are going to come to this house, come to this block, come to this area and see this mural and see whatever monuments are in the area, our focus here is to be a part of the narrative. Yes, Black women were a huge part of the Black Panther Party and helped drive it. And yes, the Black Panther Party was a positive thing of freedom fighters. They were not terrorists.
And before we move on to our other guests, one thing we should keep in mind is that up and down downtown from around 12th on down to 15th or 16th, you see an array of art. And one of the pieces that was put up was a Black Panther, an homage to the Black Panthers, where they talked about one of the 10-point platforms, which was removed, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is, yeah, so you're making a statement, and, you know, and I can't get the full story as to why, but it was basically like, well, we're going to have to take it down, and it's city property, and it's all these different things, but, yeah, so, yeah, we still have this fight. Let me bring in Erica Huggins. A couple of things, Erica. One, Jill talked about the role of women and them being erased. And it seems like now so many women that are connected to or part of the Panthers, we see all the time. I see you. I just saw Elaine Brown yesterday. You know, we always see a lot of dynamic women who were either in leadership or in the rank and file, to the point that we almost take it for granted. Can you talk about what it was like back when you were, you know, when you were a big part of this, and have things changed for the better? Have we learned some lessons from the past?
Well, thank you, David, for that multi-layered question. First of all, I think we take it for granted in Oakland, but nationally, we do not know even the names, much less the faces and the lives of the women of the Black Panther Party, who didn't just support or help, but ran all of the Black Panther Party's community survival programs, and that is not an exaggeration at all. We did much, much more, but that's an example. And so we live in, as you know, in a society, and I want to say also in a world, which is based in a male paradigm, a white and male paradigm, but a male paradigm. And so we're socialized, all of us are socialized in this same pot, let's say. And so undoing that socialization is important, especially for young boys and girls. I'm thinking of children coming by Jill's house and seeing this, the side of her house and the back of her house, and all the other things that will happen, including the names of women. There won't be actual faces of women we would know, which is good, in the mural. Attendant things to the mural would be different. So it's important that we not just think that, for instance, you're a master educator about hip hop. We can't talk about hip hop without talking about women artists, but we do. We do. We can't talk about voting unless we're thinking, let's have more women in office. Mm-hmm. That's something we were thinking when Elaine Brown ran for city council person, when Bobby ran for mayor. We have always thought like this because, as the books and the poems and the stories say, women hold up half the sky. So we have had homes in West Oakland and other parts of Oakland that pay tribute to something in our history, but we have never had a mural of women of the Black Panther Party and women whose names we have to continue to say. Mm-hmm. And in that same downtown Oakland, I saw the most beautiful mural of Breonna Taylor. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful, yeah. With a crown of flowers. Mm-hmm. And we celebrate your life. And it wasn't a Black woman who did this mural, it was a Latina. So I wanna do a little bit of tweaking here by saying that the Black Panther Party was, quote, for all poor and oppressed people. And that wasn't just in writing. We were way ahead of our time, which was what was scary about us. Mm-hmm. We were talking about not only serving the people, body and soul, through our community survival programs, but also working with all kinds of people in coalition and collaboration, yeah, to remove the virtual knee off of our collective necks.
Real talk right there. Let me ask you this. I like to use this term called intentionality. You know, like, we're very intentional. When we have guests, if there's four guests, we better make sure two are women. If we're going to play music, we're going to make sure women artists are included. Why do you think we haven't had that intentionality, in particular among circles of people who say they're fighting oppression? Why is it the default just to kind of leave out whether it's unintended or intentional? But it seems like we would have come a much further place than we are now.
Because men were not voicing it. Women have been voicing it forever. And Fannie Lou Hamer's face popped into my head. And so many other women's faces are, and words are roaming around right now inside me. When we have noticed during the protests, not only for the murder of George Floyd, but for the dehumanization of people of color, and particularly Black people, when we look at systems that have held these things in place that make it okay, for instance, for police to justify their murderous behavior, not all police, but we know who we're talking about.
Right.
Then all of a sudden in the protests, we're seeing that not only young white people, but well-intentioned older white people are showing up and they're speaking. And this is doing something. I can't say it's doing something for the four of us on air right now or all of our listeners, but it is doing something at the core of the United States that we are all breathing together. And when one of us can't breathe, we need to pay attention. And we have two pandemics happening simultaneously. One is coronavirus, and one is the virus of racism. It's always been there, but both now are heightened.
Yeah.
And so it's like that with men. When men speak up more often. I'm so grateful James is the primary artist for this mural, a young Black man. That is a statement in and of itself. And there are people who could say, huh, why didn't they get a woman to do it? When men began to use their voices on behalf of women, not just the women they know and love, or their daughters, or their aunties and mothers and grandmothers, but women they don't know, will never know, then it's not going to move forward. And I think we're seeing a shift there as well over time. And that was something we were talking about in the 1960s and 70s inside the Black Panther Party. The same thing going on inside the Young Lords Party, inside the farm workers movement. Think about Dolores Huerta as an example. So that is the best way I can answer your great question.
No, but you gave us some serious history and context to think about that, especially that last part when you connected those dots to the Young Lords and farm workers. So, you know, appreciate that. So, James, a lot of pressure on you, brother.
You felt that too, huh?
Yeah. You know,
not from us though, baby. Come on, we're not James.
I see Erica at least once or twice a month before this pandemic walking down the street, so I know I better be on point, you know, because she'll give you that look like, yo. And Jill's somebody you'd rather not see, you know, unless it's on a good term. So you live right down the street and you're going to be on her house. So what do you bring to the table? You know, I'm being facetious in terms of these dynamic folks we have, but you know, seriously, when I see people do art, they usually bring a spirit to the table. There's something that comes from inside that resonates when the final product is done. So how do you kind of center women and really bring something extra for this mural?
Yeah, and you know, those are great questions as well. And what's most important, the major spirit, is what I've taken and just from learning is service. You know, like the Black Panther stood for serving the community, for serving immediately like oppressed Black people here in West Oakland and in East Oakland, and just expanded and grew out of that love to serve their people. And so that's always been my intention, not just on this mural project, but in general, working in communities, stateside and internationally, being in education, you know, and now even working in labor where it's still serving the people. So it's you know, it's quite the opportunity and a blessing to really hit home, literally where I live, with the neighbor, and to honor the people that walk these same streets, and fought for the rights that we have now. So that's the main purpose, you know, and my goal as an artist to affect and to bring about real change. But I think secondly, the opportunity as a man to speak on behalf of women. Erica mentioned that we take it for granted, you know, especially here in Oakland. I come from a two-parent Black household, with matriarchs in my family, from grandmothers to aunties. My mom was my fifth and sixth grade teacher, so there's never been an aspect for me where I didn't look at women and revere them. So, but this is also the opportunity to bring it to people that don't come from that privileged background, right? And so I'm not gonna complicate it further than that and say that there's gonna be something in particular where I make the mural stand out, but I think just one, being connected to the community with a great community of artists that will also be joining me from the Bay Area Mural Project to Aerosol, and just kind of like the energy that is Oakland and what particularly the Black community brings to brings here that everybody feeds off of, you know. And so that's going to be the spirit of this mural.
you know, a lot of artists I know, they always have a little breadcrumb in there. If you know the artist, you can look and be like, oh, that's James, I could tell, right? Mm-hmm. Or if they know you, they'll see something. You mentioned your mom being your teacher, then matriarchs in your family. When we look at that mural, will there be something in there that we go, oh man, that's his mama up there, or that's his sister, or something like that?
You know, and that's, I think, one thing, like, I learned how to draw. My biggest influence of drawing was my mom's handwriting. So I think, and that's just a, you know, and that's just a reflection on how I became an artist. But, you know, bringing it back to these women and the party in general, because the party was ahead of its time and the way that women led and served, is that when we look at these social programs, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a real iconic, those are iconic images that really will be showing, like, not only the work that they did, but that it's not separate from the Panther Party. So, right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sketching away, I'm thinking, I'm planning, but I don't know yet. I don't know what's going to be that it factor that comes across. And I think that's just part of the discovery and research that goes into this.
Appreciate that. That's James Shield, lead artist for this mural.
Yeah. It's funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication. My emancipation don't fit your equation. I was on the humble, you on every station. Someone play young Lauren like she dumb. But remember not to game the under the sun. Everything you did has already been done. I know all the tricks from Rich to Kingston. My team done major, kingdom one run. Now understand El Boogie, not violent. But if a thing test me, run for me gun. Can't take a threat to me newborn son. Help in this way since creation. A groupie call you far from temptation. Now you on vile over separation. Tarnish my image in the conversation. Who you gonna scrimmage like you the champion? You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one.
You knew, no,
now, how come your talk turned cold? Gain the whole world for the price of your soul. Trying to grab hold of what you can't control. Now you all flaws for the sight to behold. Wisdom is better than silver and gold. I was hopeless, now I'm more hopeful. Every man wanna act like he's exempt. Need to get down on his knees and repent. Can't slick talk on the day of judgment. The fool makes similar to a serpent. No coincidence. Hypocrites always want to play in the sand. Always want to take it to the full out extent. Always want to make it seem like good intent. Never want to face it when it's time for punishment. I know you don't want to hear my opinion. There come many paths and you must choose one. And if you don't change, then the rain soon comes. See, you might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win.
You really lost one. You just lost one. It's so silly. How come when it's all done, did you really gain from what you done? You it's so silly. How come you just lost one?
How alone? No, you knew. No.
You just lost.
You can still be reborn, and from the night can arrive the sweet dawn. Now, some might listen and some might shun, and some may think that they've reached perfection. If you look closely, you'll see what you become, 'cause you might win some.
up, y'all? It's your homegirl, Mystic, and you are now listening to Hard Knock Radio.
What up, though? This is Merce of the Living Legends, and you're checking out Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop.
This is Medusa, rocking it through and through for the ladies. All my gangster goddesses stand strong on Hard Knock Radio.
Jill, let me ask you this, and also Eric as well. Oakland is definitely a city that's on the map for a number of reasons. There's a lot of leadership that comes out of Oakland. We see in this movement, this rebellion, a lot of women have stepped up and are in clear leadership of this. At the same time, we have this real dark side to Oakland, which is it's a major hub for trafficking, you know, and we have a police department that has been under the leadership of women itself that have, you know, been in the forefront of being a part of that, you know, the scandal around Celeste Guap, you know, that was the name that was used, and the 50 or so officers that were involved, and, you know, hardly any of them were fired, many of them were promoted, and we still have the scourge of human trafficking here. We still have young girls and young women that are being pimped out. How important is it, with that in mind, to have this mural make a even bigger statement above and beyond just being inspiring for young people who might not have known this history, but also understanding the dynamic of what exists in the city? And it's not on the fringe when you have the darn police department, you know, knee deep involved in that sort of scourge.
Well, I know the main thing that comes up for me is that it speaks to how important it is that you are reflected in history and you see images of yourself reflected back, that you know that you come from somebody, that you come from somewhere, that you know you might be struggling today, but you have this connection to people that look like you that have been struggling for you for centuries. And so often, Black girls and Black women don't have that string. A lot of Black people don't have that string. You know, you can look at it as a huge impetus, the Black Panther Party at Merritt College, creating Black studies and making sure that you had people at that time coming off the streets, coming in to take these classes, and how rejuvenating that is and how empowering that is. So a lot of the times I feel like when you talk about mental health issues in the Black community, you talk about the abuse of children and young girls in the Black community and poor and oppressed communities, as Erica said, I feel like a lot of that can be mitigated when you have connection. And I don't know that I'm going to change anything in all of those things that you just listed, you know, Davey, but if any of the Black girls or young Black women can come to this community and look up at my house and see themselves reflected back and move closer and read a story about somebody that reminds them of their auntie or their grandmother or their neighbor and say, I can do that, I can be that, somebody sees me. Because when you're invisible, when you feel invisible, you can get into all kinds of mess. Because right. Nobody's checking for you. And so I want this mural to be a one-dimensional. Anybody who walks up to it, whatever they're looking at, says, I'm checking for you. I see you. I'm your history. I'm your family. I'm holding you up. You're on my shoulders. Any of those expressions that come to mind that is so important for me as a Black woman. You know, you said earlier, I have a degree in Black studies and a degree in women's studies. The reason why I have two is because when I was in the Black Studies Department at San Francisco State, they never talked about women. Wow. So when I was in the Women's Studies Department at San Francisco State, they never talked about Black women or women of color. So I had to create my own curriculum and I had to create my own meaning to find a place for me. And I was blessed enough to have professors like Erica Huggins and Angela Davis and all of these amazing people. But my whole self wasn't represented in Black studies, and my whole self wasn't represented in women's studies. And I want to do whatever I can to help reflect us in history and help reflect us in the struggle that we've been in for so many years.
Oh,
avoid this. Sorry.
No, no problem. Is that a dog that's sitting next to you? Because I thought it was
a cat. Oh,
okay. I thought it was a pillow, and it was like the pillow's moving. Okay. Well, you know, on the education tip, I think it's important, especially as we are seeing battle lines, you know, drawn around the requirement for ethnic studies, and to see that there will be opportunity as ethnic studies becomes a requirement for those of us that teach to, you know, definitely make your house become a part of that educational curriculum. Like, you know, like, hey, y'all gonna have to make a trip to West Oakland and you know, and really bring it back to the community.
And James can speak on that because we're gonna be doing an educational coloring book that will walk you through all of the history of all of the women and people that are on the mural. So it's gonna be a huge educational opportunity.
Okay, well, there you go. Go ahead.
I did a hip-hop coloring book back in 2011 when I was living in New York. Which basically combines classic coloring book activities, creative exercises, and the history of hip hop, you know, at least from the birth of hip hop. And so, you know, it's really about making sure that this artwork and this message lives beyond this wall to that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Erica, let me ask you this. We're in a pandemic. We're about a few days away from people who were fortunate enough to get some sort of stimulus check or some sort of, unemployment check that's about to run out. We've heard the term mutual aid being used for the first time, a lot of people. And we're hearing stuff about, oh, we got to know how to survive. We got to know how to work together. And you already mentioned y'all were doing this way ahead of time. So stuff that you were doing in the 60s and 70s, here we are probably having to go, how do we do it? I bring all this up to ask if you can share a little bit of this history, because Jill talked about the iconic image of observing and showing these survival programs. And I think if there's anything that's been taken for granted is, you know, the legacy of that, the free lunches, some of the things that we may be doing right now, all these are things that were springboarded from the Panthers, free clinics, all that sort of stuff we're seeing now, you know, free testing at the churches. And but this is Panther legacy that literally has been erased, and Panther legacy with women being in the forefront of that. So can you educate or give us some little tidbits that we can dig deeper into?
Yes, and first I want to say thank you, Jill, for what you said about the importance of the mural. Its educational importance, its ability to uplift, and also I want to talk about healing. Let's say that a young woman who is being held hostage by trafficking walks by Jill's house. We want her to feel like she is a beautiful and immensely good human being.
And worthy.
We want her to see somebody that, or somebodies, or have a memory that allows her to think about how to get free of that. I can't explain what I'm talking about, but I think women will know what I'm saying. If there are women listening, you understand. From the beginnings of history, and if you don't know about this, read Angela Davis's little book on the life of the slave women. It was far more horrendous than the life of slave men. Mm. Why? Because they were supposed to birth the babies and then not keep them, and often had to birth babies in the fields. This terrible, horrible trauma has been passed on in a multi-generational way without any intervention from government and or healthcare services standpoint. So the Black Panther Party said, oh, you're not feeding the children breakfast so that they can be alert and satisfied enough to learn something, we'll feed them. We don't have anything. We certainly don't have any money, but we'll go to the big box stores and get the ingredients of a breakfast and make it for the children. And they came in the hundreds from city to city, so thousands, every morning. And those breakfast programs were raided by the police in church basements, like St. Augustine's Church, which was a very famous one here in Oakland. Think about that. Why would they be raided? Because they couldn't believe, first of all, that we were beyond criminal behavior, Black people in general, because that's another kind of a socialization that even Black people ourselves have bought into. But also that out of the goodness of our heart, we would just do something for no motive. I ran the Black Panther Party's flagship community survival program for 9 years with the support of all kinds of wonderful, primarily women and men. Very conscious men, I want to say. And at that school, the healing that occurred just for the children, and then again for their parents and their grandparents, for the teachers themselves, for me, was so profound. To walk into a building where a little Black girl could be fully loved, both for being Black and a girl. That when she raised her hand in class, someone paid attention. That when she had a suggestion or an idea, even for an adult, she was heard, she was seen. Why? Because we never had it. And we didn't complain about why we didn't have it. We just said, we want them to have it. That is the approach of all the community survival programs. Government's not doing it, we'll do it. You think sickle cell anemia is pernicious anemia? No. We will go out on corners and do finger pricks. And I could share with you stories of people who've come to me decades later, because we never stopped to feel grateful for ourselves. That's another reason, Jill, this mural is so important for the women of the Black Panther Party who are still alive, to see themselves and to have the memories. I've been happy that Tarika Lewis, who is the very first woman to join the Black Panther Party at age 16, she's remembering all of the women and all of the pictures we're collecting. It's amazing how healing can occur at a cellular level with image, with sound, with acknowledgement, and in discussion. So I'm hoping for the healing that the Oakland Community School caused, and it's still remembered when I run into people, they say, that school made me the woman I am today. That school saved my life. That school saved my mother's life when we were living in the Havens Court housing projects. She was a single mom with 5 kids. That school was an oasis in the desert. And that's, I'm using the breakfast program and the school as examples. But the way we stood for the end to police abuse is another example. The People's Free Medical Clinics were unbelievable doctors and nurses and medical students who interned, came for no pay out of the goodness of their hearts. That all of these things, Davey, could happen again. They are all completely replicable. There isn't some mystery or fantasy about them. And I don't fantasize how difficult it was to be in the Black Panther Party and be a woman.
Right.
I am saying, though, if we want something, as June Jordan, one of my very favorite poets, says, we are the ones we are waiting for.
Now, that is profound, and I appreciate you sharing that history. I don't take your wisdom and you sharing that on these airwaves for granted. Far too often we have this information come through interpretation, and with interpretation comes agendas. So, you know, we're gonna, you know, tighten it up a little bit. We're gonna put it in this direction and move it over here, and all of a sudden we don't get the full breadth of what you all did. And I think one thing that is resonated with me, and you know, for people can't see the look on your face, but there's a determination like, hell no, if we need it, we'll just do it. You know, there's a reflex. There's a reflex to say, well, you know, Erica, what about? And it's whenever I'm around you, you know, I can't say what about, because I know that's going to be smacked away, and it's going to be, brother, what are we going to do? And that sort of rigidness and encouragement is something that I think is lacking. There's a lot of people that can get in the habit of, well, I don't know, it's rainy out there, and we don't have no money, and y'all didn't have grants or nothing. But for people to see your face was like, there was a problem and we fixed it, is something, if anything, that we can replicate, it needs to be that.
That's right. And to your point about grants, about funding, I've watched Jill just yell and the money started pouring in. I don't mean literally she yelled, but she didn't do some huge, gigantic outreach at first. And people just were so full of love about this and so much excitement. And I want to say that in Oakland Community School, we didn't know anything about anything. I was on welfare as a director of the school, very intentionally, because I didn't want to take anything, not a penny, from that school. But then we heard about grant writing through my friend Arnold Perkins, who some people out there will know Arnold. This was when he was at the San Francisco Foundation. Right. And one day he told us about how grant writing works. We were brilliant and young and enthusiastic. Median age of the Black Panther Party members is 19 years. Mm-hmm. So, and I was running the school in my 20s. Wow. So we said, oh, so you just write what they want to hear, but you tell them the truth. It doesn't have to be fancy. He said, no, it don't have to be fancy. Now you have to speak so they understand what it is you're talking about. You will be able to raise the money. We wrote so many grants, and that was how we got funding. Because why? We did not want to charge the families in our communities from Richmond, from Bayview, from Oakland, all over Oakland, from South Berkeley, from all the housing projects, tuition. No tuition at that school. We served 3 meals a day. How did we do it? Because we diligently wrote grants. And we didn't know how to do it. We asked for help. The community is full of brilliant, inspired, caring people. This was our assumption. And so we can do any of these things again. We just have to get all that head stuff out of the way.
Real talk. James, what do you want to add to this as we get ready to close out? We've been getting a lot of game here today, huh?
I mean, so now you know what it's like. pretty much just sit back and take notes.
Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, it's all three of us are educators and community members and activists in some form or fashion. And just as Erica said, that like we can do it again. I think this is specifically for the arts culture. And what that means to an historical Black community such as West Oakland is that we're gonna do it again. You know, like this is not the only mural. This is not the only, this is not the only expression, you know what I mean, of service and healing and love for Black people and the larger community that is a part of Oakland. So it's that determination that I'm channeling and kicking off or continuing to strive for and kick off with this mural and watch what happens post this mural, you know, because we want more art to go up. We want more marginalized people to be recognized. And I think most importantly is the narrative is that it's not that women weren't part of this, because they're everywhere that you see in this documentation, but it's just through that white male gaze that we're so used to receiving information and understanding history that it's more important to change that perspective, you know, of how we value and understand our own history.
No, definitely. And I think this is going to be something that goes above and beyond what is on those walls. I just have that feeling like that's going to be something that's going to be very special. Jill, let's get the last word here. When will this be done? Will it be done tomorrow? Can we come see it? Or
It's funny you should ask. As I'm looking out my window right now, the scaffolding just started going up today.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
It's very exciting. So there's a lot of prep work that's going to happen to the house prior, because we're being very mindful and conscious of the fact that once this mural goes up, we want the canvas to be as pristine as possible to make sure that it lasts forever, basically. Right. And so, yes, we're still in the throes of fundraising. You can search Kickstarter. We still need lots and lots of help to make sure that we get this pulled off. But there's going to be work on the house for about the next 6 weeks, I think. And then James and his teams of artists will put the mural up beginning on the end of September. And then we're going to have a culminating unveiling event on October 17th, which is right in line with the Black Panther Party's anniversary of October 1966. And we're going to have a block party and unveil it and hopefully have everybody and everybody here, as many former Black Panther women as we can possibly get. So yeah, right now it's just focusing on fundraising and design and getting as many people to support as possible. And the one thing I wanted to say too, a part of it was my motivation is this thing that's coming up for me is across the country and across the world, actually, statues and monuments are being torn down. It's not that they're not a part of history. It's not that we're rewriting history. It's that for centuries we have chosen to celebrate certain people in history that have not celebrated the majority of people on the planet. They have oppressed the majority of people on the planet. Mm-hmm. So as we're tearing all of those people down, those people, those statues that have enslaved us and oppressed us, let's actively replace them with people like the women of the Black Panther Party and Black Panther Party, all of these people that actively fought for our liberation, that believed in our humanity and did whatever they could to free us instead of did whatever they could to keep us oppressed. So that's really about celebrating our heroes, our ancestors, the ones that we can say thank you, that I'm standing here in this house right now. So thank you, Erica.
Yeah, thank you. This looks to be inspiring, and I can't wait to see this and coming on the anniversary. So Erica Huggins, we appreciate you. James Shield, Jill Christina Vest, we appreciate you. Just quick thing, you know, if I send you a picture, can you like put me somewhere in the mural? Like in the backdrop somewhere, you know, like maybe just, you know, like just a small piece.
We could put some earphones.
Yeah, that's it. Some earphones and, yeah.
Put earphones and a microphone in your hand and you can be depicted interviewing women of the Black Panther Party, getting their story out to the world.
Oh. Yeah, that's it. There you go.
Where's the project?
Yeah.
Thanks, James. Did we have David D. all the women of the Black Panther Party?
Hey, you know, that sounds like mural number two. On the wall. Yeah. You're good to go.
Because I was going to say, make sure you get my right side. That's the good side. But seriously, you know, on the real tip, I do hope out of this we do see more projects come on it. And I think, I know we were joking around, but I think getting those oral histories, you know, getting those coloring books, it'd be great if I interviewed, but it'd be even better to have some of those little girls.
Right.
You know,
right.
What a mural thing that would be. I mean, to interview you all that day, to have these young children that are coming up, you know, go and get that wisdom. And, you know, I just see a multitude of things that can come from this. And more importantly, it's on your house.
Yes.
So we don't have to worry about all this other stuff. It's on your home.
Yes.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's very exciting. And there's already a Black Panther mural going up on the fence across the street from me. Mm-hmm. Also across the street from me, unbeknownst, a lot of people don't know this, is where Huey Newton was felled in 1989, August of 89. So there's going to be a beautiful monument going up to him right across the street from the mural. So hopefully by the time we get to October and by the time all of this is done, we're gonna have a trifecta going on here. We're gonna have a massive mural on this house. There's gonna be a beautiful bronze monument to Huey across the street, and then a Black Panther mural along the fence across the street. So
there you have it, Black Panther Boulevard.
Exactly.
All right, Jill, James, Erica, we appreciate it. We're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
I see your reality on our doorstep. I believe change I see and haven't seen yet.
Thank you. Listening to KBOO Portland. It's time to be jazz, the movement. Learn lessons from my past, the movement.
KABU is holding a training this Saturday, July 25th, for KABU volunteers interested in covering